From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is downtempo, glitch hop, and dubstep producer Elisha. The Vancouver native has been on the scene for more than a decade, spinning drum and bass, glitch, and breaks, in addition to emceeing and singing. A founding member of Glitch Hop Forum, Elisha has been instrumental in bringing the genre to the forefront of today's electronic music scene, and has put out a number of records on pioneering labels Breakbeat Science, Simplify Recordings, and Daily City Records. Her latest EP, Reverie, is out today on Moody Music. Today's episode is brought to you by Tall Tree Lake Festival, taking place September 23rd and 24th in Gorville, Illinois. This year's lineup features Conspirator, Blue Tech, Mansions on the Moon, Spankalicious, Fresh to Death, and today's guest, Elisha. If I may make a personal plug, if you're anywhere near Southern Illinois near the end of September, do yourself a favor and go to this festival. It's fun, it's intimate with some great artists and terrific people in general. And the trees are indeed very, very tall. More info at talltreelakefestival.com. Before we get to the Elisha interview, I've got to play a track from the new Bass Nectar album, Divergent Spectrum. His latest album hit number one on iTunes electronic charts, and we couldn't be more happy for him and his crew. Here's Probable Cause, a collaboration with Ill Gates. Both artists are featured on the Unts' 2011 digital music sampler, coming out on Thursday. More details at the end of the show. Bass Nectar and Ill Gates with Probable Cause. Let's get to the interview with Elisha. Early on in your career, you were on the path to becoming a vocalist. I'm wondering, were you classically trained, or was this just something you happened to be good at?
Well, I've been a musician since I was a kid. I come from a family of musicians, actually. There's some classical musicians and stuff in my family. So my family's always been really music supportive. So when I was a kid, I did, you know, everything. I took piano. I did choir. That was where I started singing. But I never actually intended to be a singer. It wasn't until I was in high school playing bass in a band and the singer was always getting me to do backup vocals that I slowly just started getting into singing and writing songs. And I still think it's really funny that I've ended up doing so many vocals when I was always interested in bass, rhythm, you know, background playing. But, you know, so it's still something that nobody else does. And that's kind of why I've continued to do it, is just, you know, the lack, I think, of a lot of like strong vocals in electronic music, but it did start back in choir.
I guess it wasn't mainstream music then that you were emulating. This was probably fringe music you were listening to. What was Alicia in high school listening to, playing bass in this, I imagine, punk or rock band?
Yeah, well, I went into eighth grade in 1994, which is right when Kurt Cobain died and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I grew up in Vancouver, which is 2.5 hours north of Seattle. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of flannel shirts.
You were a grunge kid.
A little bit, yeah. And from that, I got into sort of industrial and punk. And I mean, I went through, you know, I was into everything. And I still really enjoy old school punk. And I still, you know, I just went to see Tool for the third time. Not that long ago. God. A couple of years.
I don't get to talk about Tool enough, let me tell you.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that in a way, a lot of that stuff is still connected to, especially sort of left field, dubstep, all that dark stuff, you know, quite common for a lot of people to have come from that background. Now, it's funny because now I do a lot of glitch hop and stuff that's related to hip hop. But when I was in eighth grade, I would have told you I hated hip hop because the only hip hop I got was these sort of wannabe ghetto dudes, you know, calling everyone skids and just being jerks and listening to, like, you know, the equivalent of Lupe Fiasco or whatever top 40 is, you know, big. So it's funny because, like, now what I do is so related to hip hop, but I definitely came from this industrial perspective and going, I hate rap. Rap sucks.
That's so funny. So I guess your first electronic music was maybe Nine Inch Nails.
Correct.
Or Rammstein even. So coming from that industrial zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved Nine Inch Nails. And, you know, as most people in eighth or ninth grade are, I was incredibly emo and depressed and wrote lots of bad poetry. So, you know, Nine Inch Nails was a great summation of everything I was feeling at the time.
How do you get from there then to spinning? Or did you start producing before you even thought, oh, I could be a DJ?
Well, actually, no, it went sort of a vocalist, MC, DJ production. Once I got into high school, you know, I was kind of a little bit of a mouthy, smart kid. I didn't have a lot of friends. I ended up changing high schools 3 or 4 times since from eighth grade to graduation.
Oh,
and
wow.
Every time I went to a new school, you know, of course, there were just a different crowd of kids. And so I got into singing when I was, like, as I said, in the band. And I went to high school downtown for a while, and we would get flyered on the street for raves. And we didn't even know what they were at the time. We'd just stand there just going, like, what is this piece of paper with these dudes' names on it? I don't get it. And finally, when I was 14 or 15, my friend and I decided we were just going to sneak out on New Year's and just go to this party and figure out exactly what it was. And from then on, I pretty much just wanted to participate. And I had some friends who were learning how to DJ, and I started singing with them and getting into hip hop after that and MCing. And shortly after that, I was realizing that there weren't a lot of people that were MCing and DJing. So I decided that I wanted to do that. And production, serious production on my own, didn't come till about 5 years ago. And this timeline, I mean, I started performing out as a vocalist and DJing in 97 or 98. So it's been a really long trip from A to B.
Sidewalk Chalk from Alicia's new album, Reverie, out today on Moody Music. When you first started spinning, what sort of things would come across your tables?
It was drum and bass. That was the first thing. I mean, when I went to my first rave, house music was the big thing. And, you know, everybody goes to a party and gets excited and enjoys it and doesn't really care. But as soon as somebody showed me drum and bass, you know, it was sort of way more aligned with industrial and all the stuff that I was into at the time. And I loved the breakbeats. And so I was predominantly drum and bass for probably the first 10 years of DJing and MCing. I also got into breaks and hip hop, but drum and bass was where it's at. I have a few old drum and bass records out on labels like Breakbeat Science and Focus. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of people nowadays that are discovering my music are going, "Wow, I didn't know you made drum and bass," and which is funny because that was the foundation of what I did for a really long time.
Yeah, certainly. And since you have been in the game for a long time, how has your sound evolved? Because over that time period, I mean, that's encompassing a lot, sort of the fall of IDM and the rise of glitch and this whole new West Coast bass movement that seems to have, you know, risen out of the ashes of the drum and bass scene, but also with the UK dubstep influences. I mean, this is a tumultuous time for electronic music, and I imagine the same was true for your own career.
Absolutely, and I definitely went through a lot of sort of being jaded and then coming back phases. I think a lot of people do, where you spend a few years in the game and maybe you watch things get stagnant. I mean, for me, I will always love drum and bass, but I think because I've been doing it for so long, I see a lot of the same patterns reemerge. It's almost like adults who were teenagers in the 70s laughing when bell bottoms come back. You know, it's like I listen to drum and bass now and this whole retro sound is in. I'm like, yeah, I remember that. I used to play that stuff 8 or 9 years ago. It sounds exactly the same. And I definitely went through a phase of about 5 years ago where I thought I was sort of done with DJing, and I had a live band, and I actually put out a singer-songwriter album, and it's a lot more sort of pop electronic live, and I performed that with a 6-piece band at festivals. And just the other day I discovered Spotify and all this new music, and that album is sitting on there amidst all the other new stuff that I've been producing. So I would say my sound kind of went from drum and bass electronic into live again, and now it's sort of coming back into being a combination of everything that I've done up until now.
What led you then to glitch hop? When did you start discovering this new sound? And do you feel like you were maybe first getting into it through the lens of a drum and basser? Or did you feel like this is something new and I'm going to, you know, clean my own slate and jump into it whole hog?
Well, I was kind of ready for a change. You know, the band was fun, but it was also, you know, very, very kind of much of a step backwards to take. When you've been in the electronic industry and you've sort of built yourself upon a DJ model of things, you know, I think that DJs and electronic musicians have it quite easy compared to bands. As a band, you know, when you get a booking, you're expected to feed, you know, 4 or 5 people, transport them, and you're also supposed to make your own posters and flyers and sell tickets for the show. So
it's not you and a suitcase anymore.
Exactly. And I'd sort of just come to this like apex of going, well, I don't really want to just play drum and bass anymore. And I don't really want to just do this band thing anymore. And, you know, to give credit where credit is due, that was around the time I met Dewey Decibel, who is, you know, the coder and the grandmaster of Glitch Hop Forum. And he hadn't even started it at that time, but he was really into all kinds of glitch and dubstep. And he said, "Hey, check this music out," and basically just blew my mind and hooked me up with tons and tons of albums that I'd been missing out because I had my head so far up band or drum and bass. You know, that's where I was at, and it wasn't making me happy. And so this music just sort of came into my life, and, you know, with that came a whole new crew of friends, Glitchy and Scratchy, and a lot of the people who are sort of responsible for Vancouver bass music. They were all just getting together and just starting to throw parties, and I just went, wow, this just blew my mind. You know, I've always liked things like Aphex Twin and, you know, experimental IDM, and I had just missed that whole stage of evolution where he had started going into glitch hop. And as soon as this was probably in 2008 or something, that was, I was blown. And then from then on, I've just sort of been dedicated to making this music because it's the first time I've been able to just do what I want and have it been appreciated. You know, with drum and bass, I would make tracks and I would send them out and the labels would say, well, this is good. You know, put an Amen break on it and we might sign it, you know, paint by numbers, paint some happy little treats. And with Glitch Hop, I would post tracks and would be like, I just took this violin. And people were like, violin? Cool. You know,
let's do it.
Yeah.
All this talk of Nine Inch Nails makes this next track from Ben Samples very appropriate. Samples remix of Nine Inch Nails' Perfect Drug from his new EP Sex, Drugs, and Bass. We're going to talk about this next guy in a minute. Here's D. Carls. Sensation D. Carls, his Flavorhythm EP is out now on Simplify. We'll close out this triple cut break with Ill Gates. His new one, Under My Wallflower, was recorded outdoors in the Australian bush. His remix of Greg Reeves' Decoy with Dove of Moody Music is going to be on the UNTS 2011 Digital Music Sampler, coming out on Thursday.
Side grid, me with me last one that always side grid. Aim for my puff, me talisman for me.
hear My Wallflower from Ill Gates, let's finish out part one of my interview with Alicia.
So yeah, let's talk about Glitch Hop Forum for a minute. First, how you were instrumental in its early days, and then what sort of impact do you see it having now on the scene?
Well, I was definitely there at this sort of idol. I think we were having a potluck with Bevy Swift and the Mongoose, who are the two halves of Glitchy and Scratchy, and Dewey and myself. And they'd been sort of talking about it. You know, they were really into glitch hop, and they'd really been throwing parties for a while. And so they were just like, you know, there's a dubstep forum. Why isn't there a glitch hop forum? And Dewey is just this very sort of bright computer guy, and it, you know, if you say it, he will build it. And you know, he just said, oh, let's make one. And we sort of, I think I purchased the domain on my credit card, and he started coding, and both Glitchy Scratchy and myself were all sort of moderators, and I ended up, you know, kind of being the mom of the site, I like to say. I wrote a lot of the forum rules and straightened out the forums, and Dewey did a lot of the coding, and Glitchy and Scratchy and other people that came in, like Subvert and Ill Gates from the beginning, who were all friends of ours, they just promoted it really hard, and I think we all just worked together to sort of get the word out and get people on it, and I think it's been hugely instrumental. I mean, just from my own experience through the forum, I met Freddie Todd, Ben Samples, a lot of these kids. We all sort of came up at the same time. We'd been making tunes and we connected. Matt B from Made in Glitch, you know, we had no idea what was going on in Japan, and he sort of came in, and I think a lot of people have connected because of that forum, and it's really grown to be a sort of a go-to point. And, you know, I think the thing I'm also the most proud of about it is it really has not had much trolling to speak of, especially considering that it's a message board. You know, it's, people are generally pretty nice and helpful, and I think that part of it has to do with having a scene that's still small enough that the people who are making big waves in it are still connected. You know, we've had a lot of producers come and do Q&As, everybody from Bill Bless to, you know, Craddy or whoever, and people really appreciate that the people they admire and respect are right there giving them answers to the things they want to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wonder if you could give me maybe a few words about some of your community members. I'll throw out a couple of names, and we don't have to stick in just Glitch Hop, but I'd like to know what your relationship has been with them, and where you see maybe where they fit in the scene. Let's start out with Ben Samples first. He just put out a new EP, Sex, Drugs, and Bass. That's just rip roaring. It's nasty, and it has that sort of influence that you yourself had coming up, a sort of angsty teenager there in BC.
Yeah, well, Ben Samples, I mean, he's kind of like he's sort of like my little brother, and like I said, we met through the forum, and we've come up together and played tons and tons of shows together, and I'm definitely immensely proud of what he's doing. I think he's also pushing the real sort of physical experience of glitch hop, because, you know, with bass music, there's so many different components to it. There's definitely people who approach it from a more emotional perspective, and I would say that, you know, I tend to fall into that category, as well as artists like Telephone Tel Aviv or anybody that's sort of incorporating songs. But Samples, you know, he's kind of pushing this physical experience. Like when you go to a Samples show, you got walls of saw waves in your face and you're partying. Like it doesn't matter if you just had the worst day of your life, you're going to party because it's a physical experience. And so I think that that's very much, you know, and he's farming that stuff out too. He makes tracks faster than anyone I know. So I would say that it's definitely helping push the quantity of like party music and it broadening the appeal, you know, to people who maybe don't understand the weird tweaky stuff or the emotional stuff. They can go, hey, this stuff just makes me want to dance.
Sure, sure. What about Virtual Boy? I know you did a string of dates with those guys. They are young and they are completely out of the blue, just coming in with this very symphonic influence. They're very schooled music students, and they're just doing incredible things.
Yeah, I mean, and they are definitely coming at it from the other direction, you know, which to me is like very song-based, emotional music with elements of this style. And they're fantastic, you know. My mind was blown every single show I played with them because they do so much live. They play guitars, they do synth, they do vocoders. They're also very sweet and humble and mellow people. And I can't say enough about what fantastic performers they are. You know, as a musician myself, I get very bored of watching people check their email on stage. It means a lot to me. And I think it means a lot. You don't have to be a musician to appreciate it either, but it particularly means a lot to me when I see somebody and I know that they're just doing it completely organically. It's a song, it's an emotion, and it's a complete musical catharsis for them. It's a joy to watch.
It may be difficult for you to talk about him because he is so close to you, but I hear whisperings that you're working on something with Freddie Todd.
I'm always working on stuff with Freddie Todd. Freddie is definitely another, like, I don't even want to call him a little brother because he's a really old soul. He's just a really cool dude that makes a lot of brilliant music. I don't even know where it comes from, but I've seen him sit down and make a track in 2 hours flat. And it just blows my mind because he's also a musician. He's very talented in that way. And I'll never forget, we played a show in Chicago together and we couldn't have planned it better. The sound cut out during my set. Everything went dead. There happened to be a drum kit on stage and I had Joe Mousepad with me emceeing, and Freddie just jumps on the drums, starts improvising. Joe starts freestyling. I start emceeing, and it was like this very on purpose accident sort of live organic break. And you know, I think that at the end of the day you can really hear how musical he is, you know, even in the 40,000 tracks he's put out in the last months.
sure. And he has put out some of those tracks on Simplify, and I want to talk about your fellow Simplify label mate D Carls, who seems like a complete mystery but is putting out some of the most amazing glitch hop I've ever heard, and he's something like 19 years old.
Yeah, I don't know much more than you do. I know that I keep getting these promos and they're very well thought out and very mature, and then just to hear that he's very young. At the same time, it doesn't surprise me because I think that, you know, kids have always been the fastest learners. I certainly started performing out when I was 14, and nowadays there's just so many more tools for them to communicate, to learn, and to share their music, YouTube, Facebook, or whatever. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if more teenage producers start coming out because, you know, you don't have to have permission to leave your house to be part of the scene anymore.
That's going to do it for the first half of the UNS podcast interview with Alicia. Tomorrow, we'll talk about her new album, Reverie, out today on Moody Music. As I mentioned before, this week, the UNS launches its 2011 digital music sampler featuring new tracks from Bass Nectar, Thievery Corporation, Low Bounce, Future Rock, EP3, Ski Tones, and more. We've got a couple of tracks from Freak Nasty and an unbelievable remix from Ill Gates thrown into the mix as well. You'll be able to get flyers featuring our digital sampler's QR code at each stop on the Identity Fest tour, kicking off on Thursday in Indianapolis, as well as other major festivals taking place this summer and into the fall. Scan the QR code with your smartphone, and each of these tracks will be available for stream or download. Stay tuned for more information. Remember, today's episode was sponsored by Tall Tree Lake Music Festival, featuring Blue Tech, Conspirator, Fresh to Death, and Alicia, among others. More info at talltreelakefestival.com. Let's get a quick update of the UNS.com contest page. Today's your last day to win tickets for Dub Nation Hartford Volume 4 with Flux Pavilion and Dr. P. We've got Identity Festival tickets for Camden, New Jersey, and Philly pre-party tickets for Boombox at the Living Arts Center. And time is running out on festival passes for Camp Barefoot, Liberate, and North Coast Music Festival. More information at the UNS.com/contests. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND @theUNS.com. We'll catch you tomorrow.